that whole experience of the senses all fulfilled in one hit. That's why I love shows. I love events, and Glee and it and the way it feels is something very special. And we're very privileged, I think, and custodians to have that within our marketplace.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals. Each week, we discover the trailblazers and innovators who are shaping the future of garden care in the UK. So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
On this week's episode, we're delighted to welcome Matthew Meehan, the Glee Event Director. Matthew, welcome to The Underground.
Well, thank you for having me and good to meet you.
Thank you so much for coming on board.
No problem.
Matthew, can you just give us a quick overview of what Glee is and what it means to the garden industry?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, I mean, Glee has been innovating the garden retail industry now for the past 50 years, but it's probably the largest and most definitive marketplace for the garden retail community. So we have encompasses from an exhibitor side 9 different categories across the show. So everything from garden care, landscaping, plants, even through to some of the other areas that have developed and evolved in the garden centres, such as home gift and clothing, right the way through to everything that makes the businesses run with retail services, and fast emerging and fast growing area that we've gone back into, paw, which is on the pet side of things as well. So for pet care and pet accessories, etc. And it brings together then the visitors that tend to come and visit the show, predominantly garden centres. So right from the biggest chains, such as Dobby's and British Garden Centres and Blue Diamond, right the way through to maybe some of your smaller, much smaller independent garden centres. And then we also have visitors coming in who buy gardening products from the likes of the DIY stores, so being Hughes and Homebase, through to high street retailers, and even some of the sort of professionals involved in the industry like garden designers, landscapers, to get inspiration of what's new product-wise coming down the line for the coming season.
Fantastic.
So we're not talking plants. We're not so much plants. We're not talking live. We're talking about how you can grow your plants and what you need to grow them. That's more the kind of angle.
Yeah, plants are an important part of the show. We want, obviously, to get more green into Glee as well. So it's one of the other aspects. So probably I've not mentioned plants there, but it is a very important part of the show. Green is absolutely the driver of everything that's involved in garden retailing.
Okay, so Matthew, how big is the show and what's different about it?
Well, the show itself for 2024 is going to be set over 5 halls of the NEC. So we're using halls 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 for the show this year. So actually, it's going to be a slightly different setup. Last year, we used halls 6 to 20. So we are slightly moving around the venue this year. But actually, what that will mean is that we've got to change the layout of categories. So it will have a slightly new look this year as well as a result. And we'll be housing around about 400 exhibitors at the show this year. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, 160 odd of those will be there for the first time. So there'll be lots of newness. I think that's the thing to highlight for those buyers, lots to see.
And what sort of visitor numbers do you get?
In terms of visitor numbers, in terms of around between about 5,500 to 6,000 visitors, we'd expect to come through the doors over 3 days. That's unique visitors, not counting them twice. So that's the sort of typical expectation numbers that we would have for visitors. And hopefully from the feedback that we've had, moving it to September will enable more buyers, more buying teams to attend as well. So hopefully we'll see an upshift of visitors coming to the show this year.
So Matthew, you are the Glee Event Director.
Yes.
I'm sure it entails a lot, but do you want to just give us a brief kind of description of what it is you have to do?
Absolutely. The job itself is an absolute privilege. You know, the way I perceive my role is custodian of the product of Glee, obviously rich in its heritage, being that it's 50 years old this year. But my job is to really build the strategy of the event, to put it together, to make sure that we keep evolving the event, and it's listening to what's happening in its industry. So part of my work is to reach out to garden retailers to understand what's happening, where the industry's going. Right. Likewise, we do exactly the same for the supplier base and where that's evolving and changing. And it's a fast evolving marketplace. And that's something that I need to kind of help understand. And then what I do is drive my team. We've got a team of people across sales, marketing, operations, to make sure that we deliver the best best event we can in terms of creating the right look and feel and creating a wow experience. That's something that you know, I'm tasked to deliver along with the team. So that's just some of the factors. But other than that, it's building partnerships, relationships with associations, media partners, as well as sort of working with new ideas. Where can we grow the show next? What's next? It's got a lot of facets to it. And the year, believe it or not, goes very quickly. So although it's an annual event, we spend so much time coming up with these different ideas that sometimes it doesn't just take a year to deliver. Some ideas can take as long as 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So you're saying it's 50 years this year. So how long have you yourself been involved with it, Matthew?
Well, I joined at the start of 2006. So I guess that's 19 years when you look at it in the calendar. So, yeah, a long time. So I first joined the team and in terms of looking after some of the categories, some of the sectors within the show. So Glee back in 2006 was a much different looking event to what it is now. And it's changed. But every time it's changed, it's to understand why, how the industry has evolved, where has it gone to next? And it's a learning curve the whole time. So I might have been on the show for 19 years, but you learn absolutely something every day when you work in this marketplace. And that's the thing that's kept me here for this length of time. Is that it's such a great evolving marketplace to work in.
Yeah, constantly changing, constantly evolving, isn't it? I love it too.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, talking about things changing, I understand that the dates for Glee have changed this year back to the autumn. Can you just tell me what the reasons were behind that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. Listening. That could be the quickest answer ever, but... We've really listened to the feedback on site at Glee 2023, the post-event surveys that come out, and to get a real understanding. We're constantly looking to make sure Glee delivers to its customers, to its stakeholders. And that's something that I think we've learned a lot. There's been so much change from when we set out back in 2021 to move the date to June.
Right.
The post-COVID world at the time saw massive growth in the gardening sector. People chose gardening, 3 million new gardeners in that time. And it was a case of, look, the need to get product sourced earlier was extremely important. That was looking like the trend of where this was heading. And I don't think anyone could foresee the change in access of the garden retail marketplace. You know, and you look at some of the events that happened, you know, the war in Ukraine, unfortunately, helped change and cause more challenges. That was a factor in terms of the bigger rise in things like energy costs, the challenges also caused by shipping and the cost of containers. That became a much bigger issue. And also as well, consumer habit change, where post-COVID, there were perhaps other choices for consumers to make in terms of where they spent their money. So the drive in the market size, you know, the growth in the market conditions slowed down. And I think realizing all of these components, we set out actually to really understand a lot more and do more of a deep dive. So we've been working with very closely with Boyd Douglas Davis, as you know, who was involved across garden retail and a real kind of person that people respect and understand in the industry. So Boyd set out with us to build steering groups. So we invited and had 24 different garden retailers involved in more deep dive sessions. And that helped us understand the state of the nation, if you want to call it that, to understand what's going on in the marketplace. Yeah. And we just understood the challenges that were going on in the marketplace. And talking to garden retailers, you could understand what they're going through at the moment with the energy costs. And of course, garden retail uses quite a lot of energy to run business. Yeah. You've got the challenges of minimum wage as well. That's also there. Yeah. And one of the factors that we all forget about, well, the industry doesn't forget about, is the weather conditions. Mm-hmm. So probably one of the wettest Marches on record last year, which caused a real kind of slow start to the season. So, change of consumer habits, all of these areas, caused, say, the perfect storm, but caused for a real sort of more of a challenging time, I think, in the marketplace. Yeah. And I think now we understand those issues, we could hear those in a lot more detail. We also sent surveys out at the same time with the work around the steering group to actually understand what was going on when people were making their buying preferences. And we did see a shift. We saw a change from what we understood back in 2021. So I think with anything, when you have really clear evidence, we could have sat and waited another year to do this and make the show September 2025. Yeah. But actually, if you get the evidence and it's clear, you make the changes straight away. And I think that's the thing, that we're not afraid to make changes if we can deliver a much stronger event. So that's something I'm prepared to do, because I think actually, if it's not the right thing to run the show in June, you stop, you move the show to September and you optimize it. And I think actually, since we've done that, the feedback has been really good from the industry and we learn. But we've always got to check in and sanity check that we're doing the right thing. And we're constantly looking further down the line with how the market evolves.
Oh, that's really great to hear. You mentioned earlier that Glee is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
Yes.
So what special things have you got planned for this year?
Yeah, we've been looking at this. How do you celebrate 50 years? It's a great milestone for the show since its inception in London, actually. Glee started its life in London in a hotel, Cumberland Hotel. We're trying to see if we can find some of those dodgy pictures from the 1970s, the moustache photos, I think they're called. So we're trying to dig those out at the moment. But Brilliant. Actually how we're trying to celebrate is to look positively at products and people that have helped change the marketplace in the last 50 years. And actually, we're going to go on that journey, which should be quite fascinating. So we're looking at two areas. So as I say, people. So we're looking at the person that has probably changed the industry so much in the last 50 years, whether that's a retailer, a supplier, maybe a commentator from the industry, someone that has made that step change. And I think there'll be a really interesting shortlist of people that are still with us that have done that. And then the second part is product. So the call to action that we're asking the industry to look at is what product over the last 5 decades has changed the industry that's still relevant now today that could have influenced in the last 50 years. So what could it be? So is it Miracle-Gro? Is it things like hose lock? What could it be? Is it Flymo? I don't know. There are different things there that you could put forward that have revolutionized making gardening perhaps easier or more effective. So that's the sort of question that we're posing. So we're expecting to see some really interesting product shortlisted for that. And then I think the other one is a people one, but the character of the last 50 years. And last but not least, we want to celebrate the show. So we'll have those awards, but also we want to celebrate with the 50th anniversary party, which will be on the first evening of day one of Glee. So we want the exhibitors and visitors to stay as we close the show at 6, but then to have a party to celebrate those years. Oh. So hopefully see lots of different people, and even perhaps people that have may not be in the industry anymore that will hopefully join us for that one-off celebration.
That sounds fantastic.
Can I just ask, who makes those final decisions about who wins with that, Matthew?
Who makes the decision? Not me, that's for sure. I don't want to make that decision. hopefully we have a very clear winner. So I think we'll be working with our colleagues at GTN and also across a wider appeal to see what response we get. So it's going to go out there to the wider industry over the next month or two, and it will be really interesting to see what comes out of all of that and what the shortlists are.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to that's going to be exciting. So are there any innovations? I know that every year there are innovations. So what have you got planned or implementing this year at Glee?
Yeah, good question that. So innovation comes in two areas. So the first is newness at the show. So if you look at the exhibitors that we're looking to attract, so as we speak at the moment, we have 90 new customers coming to the show this year already.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. So if we talk about innovation, there are 90 companies that people haven't seen at Glee before. So we hope that by the time we get to September in 24 weeks time, that we're expecting around about 160 to 170 new companies, never been seen at Glee, to be on site. So that's one aspect. And actually that was something that was called out in our steering groups with the retailers, the gum retailers wanting to see newness. Well, look,
right.
That's a large group of companies coming not seen before. The other part linked into new companies is new product. So it evolves every year, but the new product awards and the new product display will be at the heart of Glee this year. It's moving to the center of the show, which is a big move. But again, the format there attracts over 300 plus new products on show in there. And the shortlisted ones, if they're fortunate enough, have to do their Dragon's Den pitch to the judges, who are, of course, are industry buyers or industry press. So their minute pitch means everything. So that will be back. The other thing, other areas that we're bringing to the show this year, which are very new. So year two of Talent Store, which comes back, and we're working closely with the Garden Centre Association and. Right. We kick off our first boot camp, as we call it. Sounds very X Factory, but we'll be hosting that at Millbrook Garden Centre down in Kent, and we'll be expecting, I think, 20 students to take part from across the GCA membership, and these would be put forward by those garden centres. They're up and coming rising stars of their businesses that they want to expose to great learning, visual merchandising ideas, techniques, and also a bit of trend insight. And we work with a lady called Debbie Flowerday, who works with us. She's got a great name for the industry, which is good. we've changed the name on Deedpoll, I think, just to get that. Now, that's a genuine name. Debbie has great background from working in major department stores in London and working with some really big brands. And she's got a slightly different lens on looking at the garden industry from a different perspective coming into the industry. And I think that's great because you can try new ideas. The whole idea of Talent Store is to empower these rising stars to have confidence to do new things. And ultimately, that day's worth of learning, we're asking them to group up with four colleagues from different garden centres. And then we ask them to put an idea together. We're asking them to come up with a pop-up store, a concept that we ask them to build. There's a slight twist this year, is that we want sustainability to be at the heart of what we do. Mm-hmm. So rather than just building them a display area that's come from one of our stand builders, we're asking them to create their displays from a smallish budget of upcycling and recycling products to create the displays. So that's a new initiative that comes in there. So once they have that day of learning in the boot camp, they then create the concept and we work with them to nurture the idea and they come and build it live at Glee. So there will be two finalists that get picked in that group, or two groups. to build their pop-up stores at Glee.
Oh, brilliant.
And these are going to be in our content, around our content area this year. So it's all coming into the main hall, which is a new initiative as well this year. Right. So that's going to be there. We're really excited about that. And then each of the teams will get to present their ideas on site at Glee.
That is such a brilliant initiative. I love that.
It's good fun, yeah. And then the other thing that we're doing is to bring in Green Heart this year, which was on the atrium. That's coming into the main hall this year.
So for people who don't know what that is, can you just give us...
Yeah, of course, it's me presuming, absolutely. So Green Heart is something where we've tried to create as buyers come into, literally into the venue, they come straight into what was the atrium space. So they walk straight into plants. We want to make them feel how they would potentially feel where they go into the garden centre. You normally go into plants first on your journey. In some stores, not all stores, that's changed a bit now. But plants first, front of what's going on. That's not changing. But what we wanted to do was we felt that we needed to bring it into the hall to help with visitors and the flow of their journey as well. Mm-hmm. So something that we've learned, and we're going to now run that in the hall. And it's great because it brings obviously more plant content into Glee, which is something really key for us. So that's the other initiative. And then finally, after the success last year of Fire Grill and Chill, we're also having very close to the hall an area where cooking products can be trialed, demonstrated outside. And it creates something a bit special at the show, creates all the senses. Of course, with exhibitions, you want to tap into that. So the some of the smells are great. So seeing and hearing food cooking is a real experience. So we're bringing that back again for this year.
Excellent.
It's going to make everybody really hungry, though. That's the only
thing. Same, yes. Yeah, I'm hungry now. It's lunchtime. Probably why I'm talking about food.
We're going to take a short break. But in the meantime, it's time for Kate's Corner, where we discover the musings and sage advice from the Gardener Guru. So, Kate, what are we going to be talking about this week?
I'm going to be talking daffodils, Phil. Now, a lot of us have got daffodils in our gardens or, you know, in pots or whatever. And what you must do is deadhead them. We often don't think about that. We think about deadheading summer flowers. But as soon as those seed heads start to form, you want to snip them off. You can either use some little secateurs or just your thumb and first fingers. Easy to do. You just snap them. And the reason you want to do that is because they're bulbs. You want all the goodness from the plant going back into that bulb, which is a storage organ. If you let it set seed, then it uses up all that energy, setting seed, producing next year seed, which you don't want. You want it all to go back into the bulb. And also what you mustn't do is what people used to do, and that was tie up the foliage into a knot to keep it tidy. And don't cut it back either, because again, that stops the energy going back into that bulb. You need to leave the foliage for a good 6 weeks before you cut it back. And often if you've got a blind daffodil, which basically means loads and loads of leaves but no flowers, that's because you've been letting them set seed, or you've been tying the foliage, or you haven't been feeding them. So what you can do as well is give them a bit of a feed now, and that will help get that bulb nice and strong for next year's flowering. But definitely deadhead the daffodils. Don't tie the foliage in knots.
Great daffodil tips, Kate. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And back to the show.
So you mentioned about the talent store has to be sustainable. So how sustainable is Glee? It's something we talk a lot about on our podcast with our guests. So how sustainable is Glee these days?
Well, we have to be. We're on that journey. And it's something as a business that we take environmental social governance extremely seriously, which is why, you know, across all of our events, we look at the carbon footprint of what we're doing. So first importantly, we try and look at all aspects. And this is a journey, by the way. You don't get this right overnight. There are steps that you have to take as you go. So first of all, even when we talk about some of the materials that we use at Glee, and we use quite a lot of materials.
Yeah.
So we opt for recycled or recyclable materials. That's one of the first things that we look to do. So, for example, badge holders, lanyards, staff clothing, all of that stuff, first of all, has to be recyclable. That's the first step that everyone sees. So we're on, that's important to us. Suppliers that we work with, and we work with a lot of suppliers at the show. So ensuring we use more sustainable materials. So for example, signage that's made from DISPA or sweatboard instead of things, traditional things like Fomex.
Yeah.
And we've got some great examples last year. One of the things that was great is our talent store display that we work with, some of the banners and material that we worked with, has actually been recycled into bags have been created.
Oh, we like
so
that.
We've converted them into other products. Oh, and actually, if you go onto LinkedIn, we've got a post that actually talks about how those products were converted from displays to clothing and accessories. So we're really keen to show what we can do. And then carpet, our carpet's recycled as well. So it can be used again and again and again.
That's a lot.
So if you're not aware of that, because I know everyone asks us about the carpet. You use hundreds of meters of carpet. Where's it go? It gets reused and recycled. So that's really important to us. And then we reuse things. So if you're not aware, we paint things and use them again. So things like signage, furniture, and feature builds, we use again. They get put in stored and use again. We don't just bin them. People think when the show's finished, that's it. We don't. We use that. The other thing is digitization. So we use less signs now and use more electronic signs, which are very helpful. And we use exhibitor stands, again, that we can use again and again. And just to be clear, the venue NEC is also a zero to landfill venue. So we're really keen that when we're making the decisions about anything that we do, that they're sustainable. We try and make choices as we go to make sure that we meet that demand. So it's really important to us, actually.
But how does that relate to the exhibitors? Do you have any rules or regulations that they need to be aware of?
Well, you've just got to my next point very quickly, so that's good timing. We're thinking on the same wavelength, I think. But sustainability is really important going forwards, and genuine sustainability and not greenwashing. So one of the things that we're implementing on Glee going forwards is to have a real sustainability trail. So what I mean by that is for buyers, so again, this came off the feedback from the steering groups we had, was that the retailers want to find genuine, sustainable products and suppliers. So I think the only way that we can tackle this in the right way, it's a journey. Again, same thing, it's a journey, but is to use actual accreditations. So to work with people like Planet Mark, B Corp, Carbon Trust, and companies that sign up to work with those accreditations. I think that's the only genuine way that those accreditations are there for a reason. And I think if companies are part of that, signed up for that, then I think that's the only way that we can really show sustainability in its truest form. Otherwise, if we ask people to tick a box, then sometimes that's where greenwashing perhaps comes out. So we're really trying to host it. I wouldn't say police it. We're not in a position to police that. And we don't want to. I think we need to help make the right suggestions. I think anything with the sustainability, I think it's about showing the way and helping as opposed to telling and what those benefits are to those businesses. Because I think retailers are, and going to the GEMA conference the other day and listening to Mike Burks, and what they're doing as a business, you realize how far retailers are already on that journey.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. No, they're not. But you need someone to lead by example. And I think you need retailers to show how it's done.
Absolutely.
And I think the garden industry is very good at sharing information. That's the one thing I've learned in the last 19 years is that garden retailers talk to each other, suppliers talk to each other, and they share, which is where I think this whole journey is about a shared experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned there that you've been working with Glee for the last 19 years. and your enthusiasm for it is really evident. So what's your favourite aspect of Glee?
Yeah, do you know what? That's for me, it's very clear, actually. Very clear. My favourite aspect, it's really sad, but I love going on site. I get there as early as I can, so I'm there before anything's built. I'm there when it's an empty space,
right,
literally with markings on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it's to see that whole journey of how the show comes together over its 3 or 4 days of build, to looking at that final creation, to look at how the suppliers that take part in Glee put their stands together and the creativity that's involved, and seeing a year's project come together where you see it there in person. And I think that's the enjoyment of working on events, to see all of the idea come together to fruition, and that live experience of seeing how retailers then come and engage with the show. I don't think there's any other job. I used to work in publications and magazines prior to coming into this, which was a great experience, having that copy ready every month with something special. But actually, that whole experience of the senses all fulfilled in one hit, that's why I love shows. I love events, and Glee and the way it feels is something very special. And we're very privileged, I think, and custodians, to have that within our marketplace.
Yeah, I get that. I think there's an energy about the live event, which is, you don't get anywhere else. And I think, you know, so that culmination of a whole year's worth of effort, or as you said, more than a year sometimes.
That's right.
You know, coming together, I can see that being quite addictive.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, 19 years on Glee, I've been in events as well for about 20, 25 years now. So,
right.
Yeah. And I'm only 30, which is ridiculous, really.
So I wasn't there, but I noticed on social media that at IPM in Essen, they had a space specially to record podcasts. I don't know whether you saw it. It was actually in a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about having a podcast booth at the show?
Yeah, definitely. We're open to new ideas. As I say, we always challenge ourselves, and we've had Glee TV on site for the last couple of years. Right. Although we're trying to sort of get a real purpose for it. But yeah, we'd love to do that. So if that's a suggestion for an era for podcasts, well, I think we can find a space. Hopefully not in a greenhouse, because it seems really hot in a greenhouse.
Sounds like you're fishing there, Phil.
Absolutely. We'd love to do something like that.
We'd love to have you on site at Glee. It'd be lovely to have you there. There's so much stuff going on as well. It's probably, there's some great stories to pick up during the show.
Definitely. Yeah. And before show as well.
I think. You're right. Pre-show, so much stuff going on. There's so much stuff bubbling away of what's going to be launched. There are companies that like to share. There are companies that like to hold back. And that's what makes for the excitement when we get on site.
Oh, well, we'll have to have some talks about what we can do.
Yeah, great. Let's do that.
Brilliant. So what's the best garden innovation that you've seen recently?
You could go down the route of, just because it's tech, the robotic lawnmower, just because for the lazy lazy gadget guy like me.
Do you have one?
No, I don't. You know what? I don't. Just because I actually use that time to go out and cut the lawn, because I enjoy the time out in the garden away from a noisy household of PlayStation games. So that's quite enjoyable getting out there. But I'm just trying to think of innovations. I think the big thing at the moment, actually, talking about innovation, is how we educate as an industry consumers into peat-free, in terms of how we get the most out of it. That's the interesting part. And I say we, because I'm a consumer and I use peat-free products. I used it the first year and I didn't get great results. And the reason being is because I didn't understand what other products I had to buy with peat-free to improve my growing. So and I'm in the industry, you know, I see products day in, day out. So what are consumers doing? So I think there's an opportunity. I talk about innovation, but it's communicating with consumers on how to. And I think that's going to be really important in the next year or two.
I've done a lot of work on that. So that's really interesting to hear you say that. I've been doing lots of articles and lots of working and lots of points of sale instructions for how to use peat-free. So it's really good to hear you say that, because it is definitely needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually some of the innovations that I've seen have again, been me trying stuff, but grow your own and looking at, you know, kind of different ways of growing, not just obviously in beds, but also doing it in the grow tables and things like that, yeah. And different ways that we've adapted to growing. That for me has been really nice to kind of use some of those different products as well. So I do use a lot of products, by the way, from our exhibitors. So
great, good to hear.
Do you get freebies?
Do you know what? I get asked that question, and do you know what? I tend to buy them because I tend to then judge them on their own merit. I don't tend to give too much feedback if they're not so good to the suppliers. But I tend to go out and buy the products that I use. I get the occasional freebie from our goodie bags at Glee, but I tend to go out and shop and buy stuff. And I like to do it in garden centres. I'm not necessarily a fan of buying online. I like to touch, see and feel the products I buy. I think I'm an 80s child going from the shopping mall and the shopping centres to shops. So I'm a fan of going in bricks and mortar.
Excellent.
Me too. Good to hear. Is there anything specifically that you most enjoy about being in the garden sector?
Yeah, do you know what? I think for me, it's not a corporate sector. So I really enjoy that part. And there's so many people that I've learned, got to know over the last 19 years, where I've seen their businesses develop, whether it's exhibitor side, supplier side, or retailer side. You know, when I first joined, I think Glee, British Garden Centres at the time, I think only had 12 centres. To see them now at 68 or 69, I think they are, is phenomenal growth. But just some of the stories, you know, and just I think the people in the industry make it for me. They're just some really great characters, innovative, creative, and ones that I've built up good working relationships with, and lots of people that I've learned from as well.
Right.
I've learned from a lot of people in the industry, and that has helped my own personal development as well. So I've got a huge passion for this marketplace.
Oh, that's a great answer. And you have said that you like to get on your mower just to kind of take some time out.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy gardening generally, or are you just a mower man?
Oh, no. Do you know the bit I'll tell you the bit I dislike first, right? It's this time of year when you have to do the cleanup. It's the kind of what I call the first spring clean of the garden for the year. That's the one that probably gives me a back twinge just thinking about it. But the rest of it, I absolutely love growing from seed. And so the bits that I like, so grown from seed, I'm more into containers. I have got borders, but more container gardening because I love that. It just created a nice sort of display there. And grow your own. We try new things each year. Strawberries are the consistent, and potatoes. Love potatoes, growing those. Yeah. So I've been working on good yield from tomatoes last year, which is good. Onions, spring onions. And the worst one I tried was sweet corn. I just can't get sweet corn right, if I'm being honest. I struggle with sweet corn.
Do you put it in a block?
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there's a lot of foxes and cats in our neighbourhood who have given me many a frustration with that sweet corn. So love growing and just generally sort of watching the yield on the plants as they go during the summer months.
So with that in mind, do you have a plant or a flower that would always put a smile on your face, no matter kind of what sort of day you've had?
Am I allowed two?
Yeah. We've had people having three.
So the first, I think, over the last year or so, unfortunately, I lost my mother last June. But something special for my mother was roses. So we're growing roses in the garden. That makes me think of mum.
Yeah, it's a nice tribute.
Yeah, and my team bought me a nice rose as well to remember my mum by, so I've been growing that. And then the other one, actually, I just love lupins.
Really? Excellent.
Okay.
You're the first.
Right.
Yeah. Am I the first?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, lupins. I was trying to
do
think.
Do you have them in your garden?
Yeah, I do. Loads. Probably because I buy too many. But yeah, lupins, we just get the right sunlight for it. So we're very fortunate about where they are that we get the right hours of sunlight for lupins.
Yeah. Oh, well, when they work, they are beautiful. So that's a lovely choice. Thank you.
No problem.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Matthew, for joining us today. I really have enjoyed our chat and like to wish you all the best with your 50th anniversary celebrations and hope all that goes well and the prep for that.
Great. Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. It's been really enjoyable on this session today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. We really do appreciate you listening and want you to get involved. So if you have a topic you'd like us to cover, drop us a line. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, head over to Facebook and join the discussion in the Underground Podcast Group or sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com. Thanks for listening.